now God's word for us this morning. On that day when evening had come, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up, and he then rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. And Jesus said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the word of the Lord. Well, as a kid, were you ever afraid of monsters? You know, the kind that crept into your bedroom from your imagination? Mm-hmm. They are commonly found behind closed closet doors, in the basement, and especially under the bed. You ever have monsters like that? My childhood monsters weren't monsters at all. They were lobsters. Yeah, lobsters. They were lobsters. I was sure that after I was tucked in and the lights turned off, they would crawl out from under the bed and come at me with their beady eyes and humongous claws. In fact, in today's scripture, I read verse 37 like this. A great windstorm arose, causing lobsters to surface to the Sea of Galilee. And the waves threw beady-eyed, giant-clawed lobsters into the boat. And then that's when the disciples pleaded, "Jesus, wake up! Help us! We're scared." I'd be scared too. Any lobsters? I'm scared. We're not going to Red Lobster for lunch today, okay? We got that? Well, okay, there are no lobsters in the Sea of Galilee, so that's not real. But the disciples' fear was. Today's passage comes just after Jesus had taught about the kingdom of God and how followers of God are called to live. Last week, Eric preached on the Sermon on the Mount. And all throughout those chapters, it's about how we are to live, and that went very well. Now Jesus wants to cross over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. The other side means crossing boundaries to where the Gentiles live. You know, those people. Mm-hmm. Those people. Lots of brokenness and challenges are on the other side. And yet, that's where Jesus wants to go. And with his disciples. So he gets in the boat but falls sound asleep, which I always think is one of the best parts of the Bible because it shows us how human Jesus was. He worked hard and he got tired. We can relate to that, can't we? And then a storm came up and the disciples pleaded, "Jesus, wake up, help us, we're afraid." And we can relate to that too, can't we? Jesus woke up, calmed the water, calmed the storms all around them. Jesus also calmed the panic and desperation and helplessness that was within the disciples. And which do you think was the bigger miracle? Jesus quieting the outer storm or the inner storm? I sometimes think that the inner storms are more frightening than a whole mob of lobsters, don't you? 2 weeks ago at a Civil Air Patrol conference, Susan introduced herself to me. We were in New Jersey. She introduced herself to me by saying, "You knew my husband, Jim. Jim died last year." I didn't know Jim had died. He was a great, very kind guy. And that was Friday night. 2 days later, Sunday morning, Susan ended up driving me to the airport. So we had quite a bit of time together where she could share her story. And it is quite a story. Late in 2015, her husband, Jim, started experiencing pain, which was diagnosed as arthritis. And then Susan's very active mother got sick. And as Susan was taking care of her mom, her dad got sick. And then her brother, to whom she was very close, got sick. Her husband's pain became so debilitating that he had to retire early. And her mom declined quickly and died. And then her dad died, what she thinks is in large part from a broken heart. And then her brother died. This is all in a very short period of time. Her husband, Jim, went downhill and she needed help. So she called and tried to get help, but she was denied because his pain, after all, was only from arthritis. So her boat was being swamped when, after a series of what Susan calls divinely inspired mishaps, Jim got an accurate diagnosis of cancer, which had spread all throughout his body. Hospice came in to help Susan, but Jim died within a day and a half. And by the way, Jim was Susan's second husband to die of cancer. The first one died when they were in their early 30s with young children. So if there was ever a disciple who pleaded, "Jesus, wake up, help me," it was Susan. I mean, talk about feeling as if Jesus is asleep on the job. Except Susan doesn't talk about her experience like that. Yes, she is grieving. But Susan will tell you all the ways Jesus was present. Her boat was swamped, but it never sank. And you know what else Susan will tell you? That after she pled, "Jesus, wake up, help me," when the time was right, when she was able to put one foot in front of the other and actually move forward, she, Susan, heard Jesus plead, "Susan, wake up, help my world." And despite the heartbreak, Susan recommitted herself as an aerospace and STEM educator, STEM being science, technology, engineering, and math. And her mission isn't confined to one classroom. Instead, she provides opportunities and resources to teachers and students all over the nation, especially to those in poor areas where faith at the lack of resources could squash the futures of budding scientists, or not even help kids realize that they're interested in science. She works tirelessly, that no child is denied access, the opportunity to learn. In fact, when we were sitting in the airport, she was telling me now that she is more free than she was a year and a half ago. She keeps clothes packed in a plastic bag and then just throws them in a suitcase in case she's needed anywhere in the nation, and she goes. Susan's journey has been very stormy, but she is crossing to the other side. The other side of pain, as well as the other side of the educational divide. She has been broken and challenged, and yet she is strengthened by ministering to those, by reaching out to those who come from broken and challenging situations. This scripture passage from Mark is a comforting one, knowing that we worship a Savior who is fully human, as attested to by his nap, and fully God, as attested to by his ability to calm the wind and the waves. Yes, Jesus is in our boat, and that is comforting. But it's also a wake-up call. Just as we plead with Jesus, "Wake up, help me," so Jesus pleads with us, "Wake up, help my world." The wake-up call goes both ways. My husband, Brian, recently returned from Europe as part of his sabbatical, and one of his excursions took him to an outreach ministry. It was in Sicily, which is on the shore of Italy, bottom of Italy. And it is the Outreach Center is part of the Federation of Protestant Churches of Italy. And you think that's boring, the Federation of the Protestant Churches of Italy. But think about it. Italy, everything from the government to your local school is run by the Roman Catholic Church. So you know that this is a small but very committed and kind of bruised outreach ministry. Well, this Protestant center is the first stop of folks fleeing from war-torn nations such as Libya and Syria, as well as tragically poor places in Africa. And smugglers go to these places and promise safe passage to Europe for desperate families. Then, of course, provide only inhumane, often deadly conditions, and sometimes not even bringing them all the way quite to the shore. Well, when this crisis began with the battered boats and battered people arriving on the shores, the Italians feared their homes, their communities would be taken over by criminal smugglers and illegal immigrants. Wake up, Jesus. I wish I could do this in Italian. Wake up, Jesus. I don't know how to do that. Wake up, Jesus. Our family has lived in these parts for hundreds of years, and now our way of life is being threatened. Help us, Jesus. Help me. Well, that's only natural, isn't it? My husband, Brian, was invited to dinner at this Protestant Outreach Center, which houses and helps these newly arrived immigrants. And he sat with a table of mothers with babies and young children. And they seemed so vulnerable. They were eager to talk with him despite the language barrier, and he enjoyed talking with them. But one of the things that struck him most was when he asked about their others or family members, they just looked into that middle distance and said, many people died on the journey. There were also several young boys at that dinner, and they were sitting together at a table. It looks like they had no one else. And after the meal, Brian washed dishes with one of these boys, a boy from Gambia. And Brian asked where the rest of his family is. I mean, the kid was, what, 10, 11, 12, all alone in a strange country, no money, no family, can't speak the language. He said, where's the rest of your family? And the child said the same thing. My family died on the journey here. I am all alone. These stories, Brian said, were heartbreaking. And you know, the Protestants of Italy heard these stories too. And that's also when they heard Jesus say, wake up, help my world. And now church volunteers serve every day, sometimes to cook or to clean or to help tutor or help teach languages, always, always to greet incoming boats with their battered people saying, welcome, you are safe now. And then giving them a blanket and walking them to phones where they can call folks from their communities back home. You know, unlike Jesus and his disciples crossing boundaries to get to the other side, these disciples, the Protestant Italians, had their boundaries crossed. And yet they still ended up at the other side, on the other side where there is brokenness, where the challenges are many. Yet the Protestants discover that Jesus is indeed there with them, and they are grateful and stronger because of this journey. There will be times in our lives and in our world when it feels as if Jesus is asleep on the job. In those times, it's good to plead, Jesus, wake up, help me. For then we discover for ourselves that, yeah, Jesus is awake. And in fact, Jesus is in our boat. Jesus is present and still calms the storms of life. And as he did by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus still calls disciples today. Wake up! Help my world. Will we? Will we journey with Jesus to the other side of the sea, or perhaps just the other side of our attitude? It's not an easy journey, I know. My little boat seems to go round and round and round in circles as if I'm paddling with only one oar, and I know many of you have said I'm one oar short, so it makes sense. But I've learned that this journey, regardless of how zigzaggy it is a necessary journey to understand the truth that Christ, through Christ, we are stronger where we have been broken. We are compassionate where we have been resentful. We are active where we have been apathetic. In other words, it is this journey of faith that makes the disciple. Whatever is scaring you this morning, from the gray, rainy skies, from lobsters to loss, remember that Jesus is awake and Jesus is present. He is in your boat. Jesus is with us. All that Jesus asks is that we too are awake and present with him. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.